in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ever get a song stuck in your head that you just can't get rid of? We seem to talk about that often, don't we? I know I've mentioned it from the pulpit here more than once, but for the last couple of months, our family has had, ironically, not a commercial from TV, not some jingle bell rock, but a passage of scripture that has been heard ad nauseum over at the parsonage. Is it okay if I give you my version of it? Are you ready? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Recognize that a little bit? Sorry, it wasn't the best, but that was stuck in my mind from our practices for Handel's Messiah for the community choir at Hastings College. But it was also stuck in the minds of our three younger boys and their teacher mom from Zion Lutheran School's Christmas musical. And most importantly for you today, it was stuck in the mind of Isaiah by the Holy Spirit when he wrote his Old Testament book. For six times the word revealed, at least as we were taught to sing it in the choir, revealed, six times that word is used. And most specifically, it's used in Isaiah 40, verse 5, which is the text that Handel used in his Messiah composition, and which we read actually several times this past Christmas season. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And it goes on. And all flesh shall see it together. You got it? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now that's the bass line. You might sing a different line, but sound a little familiar? Straight from Scripture. You see, while Christmas is about the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ your Savior, as a tiny man-God baby in the manger, Epiphany is about the focus, the enlightenment of how and why this Savior of the whole world is revealed. Not just to Mary and Joseph, not just to local shepherds or innkeepers, not just to the ox or donkeys that are feeding there at the trough, but to the whole world. A little more Isaiah for you, but I'm just going to read it if that's okay. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You see, it was exactly as Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before. Scholars, astronomers, wise men, and they actually might have been kings as well, noticed a brand new star, a special star. It was a miraculous light placed in the heavens that was so unusual that they actually packed up their camels and they followed the star. It was also extraordinary because it was a star that moved. It was a star that they could follow. I can't explain that to you, for it was a miracle. But this star led them to a young Padiah, a young child named Jesus, who ironically was the same one who later on would claim, "I am the light of the world," which royally ticked off the Jews, of course. The light had come. Listen to what the apostle Pastor Paul writes almost a generation later on in our epistle reading for the day. To bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now let's break that down just a little bit, for we should all probably be humming this tune on a regular basis. Number one, God is not stuck in heaven, but has actually come down and taken on human flesh. The same flesh that you wear and live in. Scripture delineates this, and we confess it as we did earlier in the Nicene Creed, as the incarnation with meat, with flesh. Number two, This is not some sort of secret knowledge or only for a select group of people, like a lodge, club, or a secret clan. This knowledge is revealed to everyone, to all people. Number three, this completely human and divine child is the Messiah that was promised to come and defeat Satan. Remember Genesis 3, verse 15? The son born of a woman, the man who would crush the head of the serpent? That this is now the Messiah who would pay for your sins, who would be what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That this would be the Messiah who would open heaven to you, open eternal life to you through his own sacrifice of his flesh, of his body and blood upon Calvary's tree. That's called vicarious atonement. It's called redemption. It's called justification. It's most simply called forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, freely given to who? Just the Jews? Just the card-carrying members of some secret church or society or clan? No. Freely given and desired by God for all to have by faith. This, as the choir sang earlier and as we heard about in our text, is God's glory. His glory now that is given and revealed to you. Number four, and this is the last and final focus of our text. The reason Matthew includes a quotation from another Old Testament prophet, a pastor named Micah, that the glory of God revealed will be a ruler who will not rule, though, he will, did you catch it? Shepherd his people. Have you ever thought about that? There's a difference between a ruler and a shepherd. There's a difference between the wise men, the kings who journeyed with their gold and frankincense and myrrh from afar to come find this newborn king. There's a difference from them and the shepherds who were out in the field by night. Many, many differences. But yet this Messiah who comes now, well, he connects the dots. He is both a ruler and a shepherd. But keep in mind, the wise men that came to baby man God Jesus believed him to actually be an earthly ruler. They didn't seek him out amongst the shepherds, did they? Much like the kings they served, or perhaps even were themselves, or perhaps those who they worshipped. Which is why, where did the wise men go when they first came into the land of Judea? They went to King Herod. They went to King Herod first upon entering the land of Judah because they expected now a newborn king to be in the house of a king. But yet, ironically, he was born like a shepherd's son in the hay and the straw, common man like you and me. Listen to part of Micah chapter 5 and see if you catch more of this emphasis. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, which are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Do you get it? Who do you expect this Jesus to be for you? Do you expect him sometimes to be the type of ruler who will make sure that you always have justice in this life? Do you expect him to be the one, perhaps, to beat up all the bullies in your life? Or perhaps you expect him to keep you from ever getting sick and even dying? Thus, if you, as the logic goes, do get sick or a loved one dies, then, well, he really can't be God, at least not a God of love, right?
Perhaps you expect him to right the wrongs that have been done to you. Perhaps you want to extend that even now to the kingdom of the left. You want to ensure that you pay the correct, but not too much, amount of taxes. Perhaps you're all about the prosperity gospel. That you would expect this Jesus now to have you rolling in plenty of money and possessions. Who exactly is this Jesus that you believe in? Who you just celebrated his birth at Christmas, even giving gifts to others and singing endlessly catchy songs that you still can't get out of your mind. The best answer for you this day, the epiphany for you, is that he is your shepherd. You see, in the midst of a sinful world, of living in sinful bodies, of having sinful minds, he is your shepherd to be with you. Not always to spare you from these things, but to watch over you and help you, to correct you when you stray. And especially, he has come to guide you to springs of living water, to comfort you with his holy word of absolution, to wash you in the waters of holy baptism, to feed you in a trough of bread and wine that is his body and blood. Thus he continues to shepherd you. As the shepherd prophets Isaiah and Micah prepared his way, as apostle pastor shepherd Matthew preached and recorded his very arrival, as minister pastor ordained reverends still do today within his flock, the church. You see, a shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus did just this for you. And he will not leave you. He will not forget you. No matter what rulers and governments come and go, no matter what bills you do or don't have to pay, no matter whether you have a common cold or life-ending cancer or tragic accident, he is your shepherd. And he will love and care for you always, just as he has already done through his sacrificial birth, life, death, and resurrection. This is revealed for you. This is his glory for you. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Keep singing that tune in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.